Certainly, blessings we are looking for. Prosperity. We want to experience prosperity in the many ways of physical wellness, emotional wellness, spiritual growth, and certainly that should all be a part of the wellness. But realistically speaking, we know that there are going to be some difficult days ahead. And that's just the way it is. James reminds us when troubles or trials come. He doesn't say if they come, but when they come. So we know we're going to face trials this year. The question I guess each of us want to consider, and certainly as we look at the text today, turning your Bibles to Luke 22, is how will we respond to trouble when it comes? How will we deal with the difficulties? Sitting in the doctor's office, getting that report, sitting in the boss's office and hearing something we may not want to hear. Many things may just come our way that presents trouble. How will we respond? And I think this morning in Luke 22, we see Jesus respond to trouble, and he sets an example for us of how we, by his grace and by his power, can respond as well. So after finishing the Passover meal, Jesus left the upper room, and he led his disciples into Mount of Olives, where he had been spending the last couple of nights. As he enters the garden, think about the week that he would have had. The day was tough in and of itself. Just earlier in the chapter, verse 2, we see that there is a plot to kill Jesus. Now, he knew this, and so there was this threat on his life, and probably all along he was beginning to sense that more and more. But here it's coming to a reality. And then verse 3, one of his close followers, Satan, enters. Satan comes on the scene, and he enters Judas. And there in verse 3, we see the denial or the betrayal as verse 4 takes place. And all of us have experienced perhaps someone close to us that something happens and we say, wow, you know, I ate with this person. I was so close with them. And here they're creating a difficulty in my life. Of course, there's a blessing that comes in this chapter as they celebrate the Passover meal for the last time, which had to be a great blessing. And truthfully, that continues for us as the Lord's Supper is instituted in verse 14. So good things are happening, trouble comes, and then it doesn't take too long even in this chapter to recognize as we get to verse 24 that the disciples then are disputing who's going to be the greatest among them. Once again, get the mindset of Jesus teaching them, being an example to them, and here coming upon them, and they're disputing who's going to be greatest among them. Certainly discouragement at the least. Verse 31, he has to deal with then Peter and the denial that he would soon make. And it's always hard to tell truth to someone you love, although it's necessary. And then we see as we get to verse 37, him recognizing and sharing with them that this would probably be our last time together. My time with you is coming to an end. And so Luke does a good job of revealing these things to us, but in his usual abbreviated fashion, he describes for us what occurs on the Mount of Olives, but makes no mention of other things like the eight disciples who were left at the garden gate. He doesn't mention the three, John, James, and Peter, who accompanied Jesus into the grove. Nor does he mention the three separate times that Jesus approaches them when they're sleeping and encourages them to pray. But on the other hand, Luke does take notice of the sweat that drops like blood from Jesus as he prayed. And he alone tells us that Jesus told his disciples to pray that they would enter not into temptation. So it is true that Luke, more than any of the other accounts, rivets our attention just on what Jesus was experiencing, the soul-piercing anguish that he was facing during this time. Well, we find this story, and it begins, if you will join me, in verse 39. As there it says, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it be your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up in prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. And then he said to him, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Says God's blessing upon our time together this morning. Father, we love you and just thank you for the privilege we have to gather. And we pray and thank you for your word. And today, Lord, as we see the example of Jesus and just how all that was upon him, the difficulty of life, the disappointment in his followers, Lord, help us to glean from the example set before us. And Lord, we'll give you glory. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. I think that there are lessons here that do deal with times of great trouble, and we can see the example that he leaves for us, and we once again need to understand the circumstances that he was facing. And I'll draw in Mark's account and Matthew as well, because Mark states that at this time Jesus began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Matthew reminds us of how serious it was when he records Jesus' words when he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Wow. That's strong language. Soul was sorrowful even unto death. And sometimes we say things, we make an overstatement for an emphasis. I don't believe that was the case here. I believe Jesus was literally near death. And I'm sure you're aware that a person can actually die from grief or sorrow. Within our church, I've ministered to folks that have lost a loved one and were hurt so deeply and grieved and were sorrowful. And a short time later, I was doing their funeral. Grief is a difficult thing to bear. He was in deep agony. And we might ask, what was the cause of this deep agony, this sorrowful condition that he was in? What reason can we give for this intense suffering? Why this mental, this physical difficulty was he dealing with these feelings? And of course, I think there's only one response that we can have, and it comes to the idea of our sin. He was facing the debt that we laid at his feet because of the sin in our lives. Of course, none of us could come into the presence of God because of sin. As a result of that, there was a problem. We created it. We are born sinners. And throughout life, we sin daily. And there separates us from God the Father. Aren't you thankful that God the Father solved our problem in the person of Jesus Christ, bearing all the sins of the world? Any wonder why this grief, this agony would be upon him? And it gives us some idea of the debt we have to Christ. My friends, in 2022, when you are struggling, when you are ready to give up, think of what Christ did for us. Don't give up. Keep those commitments. Keep serving. Keep giving. Do what God would have you to do, because our Savior is worth it. There's no cause to deny or doubt that. Jesus was facing a fear not only made him sweat, but actually sweat blood. We're told in verse 44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Wow, you would say, is that possible? Yeah, actually, they call this hematidrosis. It is a rare physical phenomenon in which, under great emotional stress, the tiny blood vessels that are within our body, they rupture and produce a mixture of blood and sweat. Well, this was a severe trial that Jesus was facing. But notice, very importantly, how he dealt with these difficulties. Because first of all, when these trials, when life became overwhelming, what did Jesus do? He didn't shut others out. Truth is, we do that sometimes, don't we? Things get rough, we're overwhelmed, we're being tempted, we're struggling, we fail, and we kind of isolate ourselves. We cut ourselves off from others, but we see Jesus didn't do it. He didn't go it alone. And if he needs others, isn't it true that we do as well? That's why he took the three with him into that close area so they can pray for him. And he encouraged them again and again, pray that you don't enter into temptation. But he also revealed his feelings to them. He knew when the going gets tough, you involve others so they could be praying for you. There's power in partnership, my friends. When we are weak, we need others to hold us up, to encourage us. Don't shut everyone out when you're in need of prayer and encouragement. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, reminds us in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 that two are greater than one. If either of them fall down, then the other one can help them up. But pity anyone who falls doesn't have anyone to pick him up. Verse 12 says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three stands is not quickly broken. And so we're encouraged to get others involved as Jesus did. And we should be mindful that when we're getting others involved, it's not a matter of you're telling everybody every detail in your life. And that is especially true if there's something going on between you and someone. Always respond to what Jesus said. Hey, if there's an issue, you go between you and them alone. And when you share those details, you can perhaps work them out. And you've gained your brother. You've gained your sister. So he gives us that option of being able to do that. But when we are just struggling and in that difficult place, it is so good to consider, to pray, who can I involve in my need right now? And so when life was overwhelming for Jesus, he didn't shut others out. But notice as well, he didn't shut his feelings up. Remember when Jesus said in Matthew 26, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. This was something he said to his disciples. He wasn't putting on a facade. He wasn't keeping up that strong front. He was hurting and carrying a heavy load. And he wanted them to know that. And you know what? Sometimes we have to take that risk in asking someone as we share our sorrows and pain. And you need to pray and ask God, identify individuals in my life that I could invite into my Garden of Gethsemane, into that difficult place of deepest sorrow. God places people in our lives that we can turn to and ask to help us. Galatians 6:2 reminds us, as the Apostle Paul tells us, that bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So be praying for that accountability partner, that fellow traveler through difficult paths that we will take this year. Christians are to continually pray for one another. I remind my class, whether it's in an email or when we close out, hey, continue to pray for one another. That's why we share our burdens, our requests. This is what we are to do. And it's in the present tense in Galatians. So we are to do it continually. That word burden that is there, baros, really refers to a heavy load that would be very difficult for a person to lift and to carry. And that's the trials we go through. You know that. This week you may have had those kind of trials. And isn't it so good to have someone come alongside and carry that with you? And sometimes that's in prayer. Sometimes that's an arm around you. Sometimes that's a call and praying with you. But we reach out and let others know what's going on in our lives. Don't shut those feelings up. Be open with them. So when we're overwhelmed, we certainly understand he didn't shut others out. He didn't shut his feelings up. But we also see in this portion of Scripture, he didn't try to do it his way. A song that we're all familiar with, and we've heard great artists sing, is I Did It My Way. And it's an interesting thought of someone trying to do it their way. But when I think of the people that sang it and how they lived and died, it's truly an immensely sad song. We weren't designed to do it my way or to do it alone. God has a plan, and we have to look to him for that plan. I did it God's way would be a great call for the Christian to be able to say, but not my way. What is God's way for me? A lot of people, when they face fears, they do it, if it's not their way, some other way. Perhaps, you know, it's some that would seek alcohol or drugs. But what does that do? It doesn't eliminate the problem. It just numbs the mind. It puts it on hold. Some go to a secular counselor. And what do they hear? Well, they hear something that maybe will put the fire out. But it isn't something that is going to fix the problem, because God's word has the solution. So you get earthly solutions and you get earthly results. Some read a self-help book and the stores are filled with them. And you say, oh, someone was struggling with a fear. That will help me. Well, it may not be able to deliver you from your fear or what was helpful for them. Others look to people. And I just said it's good to look to people, but you may find that those people have fears greater than yours. And it may not give you any help at all. So what is the solution? Well, I do have a good option for us today, because the psalmist reminds us in chapter 50, verse 15, call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. That's a good option we have, isn't it? James reminds us, is any of you in trouble? He should pray. And so we're encouraged that when we see individuals that are struggling, we should pray for them. But we ourselves, when we're going through difficulty, we see that Jesus prayed. He had all the emotions, the distress, everything that was upon him, he brought in the garden and lifted up to his heavenly Father. And it's what we must do as well. Pray when you're facing difficult times. What a way to go into 2022 and just resolve that when I'm facing difficulty, I'm going to pray. When we are struggling and dealing with things that I have no control over, we must pray. I had Jennifer, my daughter, they just returned from Peru, and Caleb's parents are missionaries in Peru, and they encouraged the family to come and visit the place where Caleb grew up. If they have a life together, they should know what life he came from. And so Jennifer and Leah traveled to Peru. And she was sharing with our class this morning how intense and important prayer is, because there was so many things they came across that were out of their control as they went from Lima to the jungle and different areas that were very dangerous, and where they broke down or came across situations that could have been life-threatening. And again, Caleb's mom would just say, let us pray. Let's pray now. We sometimes forget the importance of prayer, but in conditions like that, we're reminded our God is powerful. And we need to lift up these needs that we're facing. But don't belittle the idea of, well, God may not be interested in this fear I'm having. No. My brothers and sisters, he loves you. He gave his life for us. He wants to be able to minister to your every need. He will hear you. Jesus takes his pain and his need to God in prayer. Sometimes we're caught up in the busyness of life. I know that for myself, as we have made goals and looking into the new year, what we want to achieve and how we want to grow and how we want God to work in our lives. And I just kept visiting the fact of 2021 was a busy year in ministry and family, and too many times it drew me away from the intimate time of prayer that I normally have with my Heavenly Father. And I want to focus back on not just preparation for ministry, but a sweet time of enjoying my Savior, of enjoying my God, and rejoicing in how he meets needs and what he has for my life. Sometimes we forget we have that privilege, but unless we're facing something difficult where we're driven to our knees, we forget. A friend of Calvary's is Ron Hamilton, and I love the song, Bow the Knee. He says, what a privilege to come into God's presence, just to linger with the one who set me free. As I lift my eyes and see his awesome glory, I remember who he is and bow the knee. Folks, commit yourself to being prayer warriors this year. for what you experience in life and for what others are going through. That Greek word is agonia, which means intense anguish. He was in agony. The Greek word is used for someone who's fighting a battle with sheer fear. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that. I have. And I'm so thankful that I could look to God and have that peace that passes understanding. A peace when everything around you is turmoil, but God gives you calm and sweetness of spirit. I want you to notice that the Lord received an immediate answer to his prayer, as we do sometimes, but it wasn't the answer that he was expecting, as we sometimes find ourselves as well. God the Father did not remove the cup, but he sent an angel to minister to him. Isn't that beautiful? Rather than telling him how he could avoid the cross, what does he do? He sends an angel to feed him, to encourage him. He's not spared the trial. And in the days ahead, when you're going through something, you may not be spared the trial, but you know what? God can give you the grace to endure the trial. We're reminded that Paul mentions in Corinthians that there's no temptation taken us, but such is common to man. But God is faithful. Make that your rally call for 2022. God is faithful. And when you're facing those difficult times, he can deliver you. He can make a way out, or he can give you grace to endure through whatever you're experiencing. He didn't lift him out of the trial, but he gave him strength and encouragement to go through it. I remember Paul when he prayed for the thorn to remove from his flesh. It was a difficult thing because Paul went before the Lord how many times? Three. So it was on his heart and mind, Lord, you can do this. I've seen you do so many great things. And then in that time of God revealing to him what the purpose of that thorn was, Paul's response is, therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. And here it is, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Jesus told him, in your times of weakness, my strength is made perfect. Do you ever consider that when you're facing a difficulty? We ask God, remove it, and at times it's his will. And certainly if it's something that in obedience we experience, we should go to him and say, Lord, if it's in your will, remove this cup from me. But only if it's your will. But many, many times, he's going to allow you to experience the trial and go through it. And one of the reasons I believe, when there was a question in my mind if I had prostate cancer, was God didn't remove it. But in the number of years since that, 13, how many times have I sat with someone going through cancer and able to say, I know the uncertainty that you're facing. We can't do that if we haven't experienced it. If you haven't lost a child, don't ever tell someone who lost a child, I know what you're going through. If you haven't lost a spouse, don't tell someone that has lost their spouse, I know what you're going through. But when you go through that, God gives you a whole new ministry that can care for people that are going through something just as you have. Finally, I want you to see as well, he didn't just shut others out. He didn't shut his feelings up. He didn't try to do it his way. But when the trials were overwhelming, Jesus decided to be obedient. And that's so important. The second half of verse 42, we read, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Precious words that should really be in our prayers continually. He had prayed, if there was any other way, Lord, remove this cup. Is there another way mankind can be saved from their sin? Now, of course, he knew he was the perfect sacrifice. It had to be a sinless sacrifice. But he, perhaps for our encouragement and example, let us know, this isn't something I want to go through. But Lord, only if that's your will. And when it's not God's will, ask him for the grace that enabled you to go through the trial and bring him glory. Greater than his fear, greater than his loathing for the task ahead was the overriding desire to please God. That was his desire. The greatest possible good, my friends, is to do God's will, whatever the cost. And it will cost you. In 2022, it'll cost you to do right. But there's no better place to be than in the center of God's will. Once again, if you're in a place of difficulty, but you're doing everything God has directed you to do, just know He will help you through. In spite of your reluctance, just do what He leads you to do. I see in this portion of Scripture as well, the people He was trusting in let Him down, right? Ever experienced that? At times you trust in people, you want them to be there for you, and it doesn't happen. And that's a disappointing thing for us, no question about it. Verse 45 tells us that at last Jesus got up from praying, and we don't know how long that praying took, but it certainly was late. And when he goes to see his disciples, what does he find? He finds them sleeping. The gospel accounts in Matthew and Mark tell us that he did so three times. Do you ever have to tell your children again and again and again? Hey, what did I tell you? Pick that up. Something as important as prayer, Jesus, the Lord of the disciples, is telling them, why are you sleeping? Don't you understand the need right now? Why would you sleep? Only Luke tells us that the disciples were sleeping from sorrow. That gives us a little more understanding of perhaps what was going on in their hearts as they had begun to understand what Jesus was carrying. And we know anyone who has suffered from deep depression, along with that depression comes an inordinate desire to just sleep problems away. Do you ever have that? You're sick and you just want to go to sleep. I hope I don't wake up for 3 days. Whatever this bug is, it's gone. Or a difficulty in life that you just can't bear or understand why it's happening to you. And you just want to close your eyes and hopefully when you open them, it's gone. It's not unusual. But we understand there was a lot going on in their lives. And the Lord's final admonition to them, pray. Pray. In the original Greek, it's really in the present tense. And so in the context, he is suggesting that the prayer be an ongoing commitment. They still had some rough days ahead of them. Certainly, Jesus, you know what the course continues to be. He's telling them, pray. Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Let me share some closing thoughts as we close out today. Because I know some of you in the midst of very difficult times, trials that you don't feel are ever going to go away and you may not get through. I want to ask you, have you brought your loved ones in, your close, intimate friends? Have you brought them into that circle where you can share your heart and let them know, this is so difficult. Would you pray for me? I appreciate a number of you that when you facing very difficult times, you call and ask me to pray. And sometimes we pray over the phone. Sometimes we pray in present. Sometimes we meet and talk. And I appreciate that. You should be doing that. In the multitude of counsel, there is safety. But we need to commit ourselves more this year not to isolate ourselves when we are going through difficulty. Bring others in. Let them know of your need. And have you honestly express yourself to others rather than putting on that false front? Are you just looking great and when you see everybody? We all make that mistake in passing. We say, hey, how you doing? That's kind of a way we say hi. And it always surprises me when somebody begins to tell me how they're doing. And you go, whoa, what? I'm sorry. I didn't realize that. Maybe I know I need to be more attentive when I ask that question to really want to know, how you doing? What's going on in your life? How can I be praying for you? We need to be open to that. And have you taken, and I mean earnestly taken, the needs you are facing to God in prayer? We're reminded that sometimes the Spirit just allows us to utter groanings that we can't even express. Lord, I don't know. what I'm going through, what I'm experiencing, but it's difficult. Aren't you thankful that God has given us His Spirit that actually can take what's going on in our lives that we can't express with our lips before God the Father? Have you taken that time with God when you're going through those difficulties? And as a church, do we commit ourselves to being alert? And some of you are so good at this. Janet, in particular, can see someone and say, hey, that person's hurting. I need to get with them, find out how I can pray for them. Some of us have greater intuition about that. But we need to be the prayer partners, the prayer warriors for one another and for those that are going through great trials. As you hear our announcements, we do that. And you'll always hear me pray when I give those prayer announcements on a Sunday morning. And I say, would you pray with me? Because I'm praying corporately, but we should be praying together. And I hope that when I'm lifting up names, you're saying, yes, Father, have your hand upon the ones that are hurting, the ones that are going through difficulty. Empathize. You know what empathy means? Just put yourself in their place. Do that when sickness comes. Do that when someone loses a loved one. Do you ever think, what would that be like if I was in that position, if my husband, if my wife just died? My child is so sick. We're praying for the Wall family. And Jerry rightfully said, pray for the parents. This is going to be difficult on them as well. And sometimes as parents, we struggle more than the child does. When our children hurt, that's just the way it is. Are you praying for them? Don't allow it to be in passing. Get out that little list. I love in my class, I see so many people writing down prayer requests. And we as a class have an email that goes out to remind everybody, here's the needs. Be praying for one another. We need to do that as a church. And maybe I should remind you, if you're not in a Sunday school class, my friends, you're missing out on that small, intimate circle of friends that you can be having fellowship with, that you can be carrying through difficult times, that you yourself can have those needs met. Find yourself that place. Get connected. And finally, are you being obedient to God's leading in your life? Or are you, as many do, using those difficulties in your life as an excuse to run from God? Sometimes we do that. Why, God, don't you love me? Listen, God could not love you any more than He loves you right now. Why this now, Lord? I just can't. I've given you my all. None of us have. You recognize that we don't become disobedient as a result of anything God allows in our life because there's a purpose. We may understand it at some point, and we may not until glory, or maybe even then. But if you've trusted God with eternity, you can trust Him with whatever you're experiencing in this life. And that leads me to my final encouragement to you today. Maybe you're here today and you don't have that assurance. Maybe your fear is if you were to die today, you're not 100% guaranteed that you would be in heaven. My friends, you can settle that one today. God's word is very clear that you can know. The Apostle John, the Apostle of Love, said, these things have been written unto you, the Bible has been written unto you, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, that you have eternal life. Romans, we're told, call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Earlier, it says, if you believe in your heart, what do we believe? That Jesus is the Christ. He is not only the Son of God, but He is God, and He died for our sin. He paid the price. He said it is finished when He gave His life. And you ask Him to forgive you of your sin. Come into my heart and save me. Jesus knocks at the door of so many hearts. And He says, behold, I stand there and knock. If you open that door, I will come in. He doesn't open the door and come in. He knocks. My friends, he's knocking today. If you do not have that 100% assurance that you would be in heaven if you died this very moment, won't you pray that prayer when I pray in a moment? What a great way to enter 2022. We're just 9 days in. What a testimony it would be that, you know what? I don't know what 2022 holds, but I know who does hold 2022, and now I'm a part of that. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, and I want to pray for you. And perhaps this might be the first opportunity that you have opportunity to testify of your relationship with Christ in 2022. And if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt 100% that if you died this very day, you would be in the presence of God, would you raise your hand that I might rejoice with you? Thank you. Thank you. So many of you have that assurance, and I'm thankful for that. Perhaps you're here today and you would say, you know what, Pastor, I'm just not sure. Not 100% sure. How can I know that? Would you raise your hand and let me know how I can pray for you that God would reveal to you from the Scriptures how you can be saved today? Anyone have just a 2% doubt that you might not be in heaven if you would die today? Lift your hand up so I can pray for you. I will not embarrass you. I just want to be able to pray for you. Father, you know every heart here today, and you know every need. And today we surrender as a church. We come before you and we say, Lord, forgive us. We are weak. We are at times reluctant to go through the trials that come our way. And in 2022, we'll have some. But, oh, Lord, help us, I pray. Call upon you and let that need be known. Help us to cry out with the passion and desire that, Lord, your will be done, most importantly. Father, help us to be alert and aware of the needs of others in our church and our family, others that are hurting, that we would become those prayer partners, faithful to lifting these needs up before you. And then, Lord, I pray for anyone here today that does not know you, draw that one. May your Spirit work in that heart to understand their need of the Savior. Lord, we love you. We thank you. And we give you glory in Christ's name. Amen. I will be at the hospitality table. If anyone has a question or any way I can be of assistance to you, please let me know. God bless. Matt.